Now, if you will turn, please, to the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John, we're going to begin reading at verse 1 and read through verse 11. This is a long passage in John, chapters 14, 15, and 16. Jesus is sharing some very important information to his disciples. And in the process, he tells them that he is going away. He is foretelling them of his impending death. Now, we believe the Bible to be the only infallible rule for faith and practice, to know God's will and God's way. We are dependent on his word. Listen to what Jesus says in this passage of Holy Scripture. "And this I have told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who killed you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief." Now here is the reaction of his disciples when they learn that Jesus is going away. He says, you are filled with grief. "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." Now, before you close your Bibles, would you flip over a few pages, please, backwards, to the end of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, the Gospel of Luke, verses 50 through 53, the last three verses of the Gospel of Luke. Now, we have read the scripture where Jesus is telling his disciples about his impending death and that he's going away. And it says they are filled with grief. Now, the event occurs when Jesus actually departs from them forever. And let's read that together. "When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven." So this predicted event, which filled them with grief, happens. But listen to what follows afterwards. "Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great grief." No, with great joy. "And they stayed continually at the temple praising God." Our meditation, it's good to be rid of Jesus. Our text, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you." May God bless to us this reading from his holy word. To his name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. God bless this time together. Open our hearts and minds to what it means that Jesus went away. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Did it ever occur to you that it might be a good thing to get rid of Jesus? Well, it never occurred to the disciples either that it would be a good thing to get rid of Jesus. And when Jesus said, "It is for your good that I am going away," they must have thought that he was joking. What have been the saddest times of your life? Were not the saddest moments those times when you had to say goodbye? Can you remember telling a childhood friend goodbye, knowing that perhaps you would never have the opportunity to be friends and play together again? Or perhaps you stood by the bedside of a loved one and watched the last lingering light of consciousness flicker out. And you knew that never on this earth would you see that loved one again. Maybe there was a time, perhaps during World War II or the Korean War or the Vietnam War, when you saw a loved one off, not knowing if ever again you would see that beloved face. Did you feel like singing then? Did you feel like praising God? Was your heart filled with joy? Well, you know very well it was not. How astonishing it is then to read the words which Luke uses to close his gospel. He writes, when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Listen, if you had just lost your dearest friend, if you had just seen the face of a loved one for the last time, if your eyes had looked upon a loved one for the final moment, would you feel like praising God and having great joy? I want you to realize how incredible these words are that greet us here. The disciples of Jesus had shared his life. They had experienced his love. They had known his fellowship. They had walked beside him. They had seen his miracles. They had listened with attention to his parables. They had known and experienced his great compassion. And now they were alone. They ought to have gone home with slow foot, too sad to speak. They ought to have gone home too sad for words. So how surprising it is to hear these words. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy. After a funeral, when we go to the cemetery for the interment, as the last thing I do before I pronounce the benediction at this little brief graveside service, I say, O Lord, we commend unto you the soul of our loved one departed, and we commit this body to this ground, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, in the sure and certain hope of resurrection to eternal life. But let me tell you something. Nobody goes away from that singing. Nobody goes away from that with great joy. Those disciples should have been bereaved and broken and forlorn, consumed with tears and despair. I want us to realize how absolutely amazing, how astonishing are the words that meet us here. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy. It wasn't always that way. The first time Jesus told his disciples he was going away, the Bible says they were filled with grief. They tried to deny it. As a matter of fact, in our scripture for this morning, Jesus said to them, "Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief." If the person that you love the most said to you, "It's for your good that I am going away," and if you knew that you would never ever see that beloved face again, would you think it was good for you? Well, of course not. And the disciples didn't think so either. How could Jesus going away possibly be good for them? Never, not in a thousand years. Jesus said, "Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief." Well, of course they were filled with grief. Wasn't the wreck of their fondest dreams a terrible thing? Was the loss of their dearest friend good for them? Was the pain and the agony of separation good for them? And yet the fact is, after Jesus ascended to heaven, the Bible tells us they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Why? That's the question. Why? Why did it bring them joy to be rid of Jesus? Why was it good to be rid of the Savior? Let me suggest several things they discovered that made it okay. That made it okay for Jesus to leave them so that instead of sorrow, they experienced joy. All it put Jesus inside. Think about it. Suppose for a moment Jesus had never been crucified, never been sacrificed for the sins of the world. What would have happened? Well, whatever life brought them, whatever trouble came their way, they would be dependent upon the personal presence of Jesus to be there with them. And He couldn't be with them all of the time. They would have needed His presence to support them in time of need. Whenever some spiritual problem came up, they would have looked to His personal presence to help them. Do you realize what Jesus said and did? He said that if we got rid of Him, He was going to send the Holy Spirit. He said He was going to put His own presence, His own power in the hearts of each believer. Never, not even for a moment, would any of us need to be separated from Jesus. No, now His presence would always be with us. Do you remember how the Gospel of Matthew ends? Jesus gives us the Great Commission and He tells us to go off and to convert the world, to baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then He says, "And lo, I am with you always." Do you remember the story of what happened to the disciples one time on the Sea of Galilee? Jesus had sent them off on their own. He remained to pray. And as they crossed the Sea of Galilee, a great storm came up. And they became terribly frightened. The boat was on the verge of swamping. And they feared for their lives. And they longed for the presence of Jesus. How they yearned for Him to be with them. But now, that would never, ever happen again. Now they had His presence in their hearts. Isn't that what St. Paul meant when he cried out, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me"? Does that make sense to you? It's to our good to be rid of the earthly presence of Jesus because it put Him inside our hearts. Never again do we need to be without Jesus, because by the power of the Holy Spirit, God has put Him in the hearts of believers. The second reason it was good to be rid of Jesus is because it made Him worldwide. Think about that. As long as Jesus lived on this earth in human form, He was limited to a small geographical area in the vicinity of Jerusalem. While He was with the disciples, He could not be with the peoples of the world. As He was limited to teaching the people in Galilee, ministering to them, He could not reach out to touch the rest of the world. That does make some sense, doesn't it? As long as He was here on earth, He could only be with a privileged few. But after His departure, by the power of the Holy Spirit, He could reach out to the whole world. Maybe you never thought of it just that way before. But think how many people Jesus could never minister to in His day. Can you imagine how many men and women right there in Galilee long to be close to Him, long to touch Him, maybe even just the hem of His garment, but they could not. He could not be with them all. You know, I think that must have made Jesus very sad. He knew how desperate the world was. He knew how desperately people longed for a personal relationship to God. But He could not be with them all. So it was He could no longer be the friend and the companion of a few. But He must become the friend and the Savior of the whole world. Yes, it was for our good that He went away. It gave us a Savior for the world. Upon the cross, God gave Jesus to the ages and to the whole world. There upon Calvary, God gave Jesus to the whole world for all times, for every age, for every generation, for every nation. And there He became your Savior And yes, it was good to get rid of Jesus, because it put Him inside our own hearts, and because it gave Him to the world. But there's a third reason that it was good to be rid of the earthly Jesus. You see, it personalized the gospel. Do you remember what St. Paul said in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians? He said, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." If Jesus were still here, do you think it would ever have occurred to St. Paul to say, "We are His body"? He would never have thought to say that we are His eyes to look out upon the world in compassion. It would never have occurred to us to say that we're His hands to do holy deeds, His feet to go for Him. It would never have occurred to us to call ourselves the body of Christ. Maybe you never realized it before, but when Jesus left, the disciples realized that they were His hands and His feet, His voice. And it was that knowledge, the knowledge that they were the embodiment, the personification, the representatives of Jesus, that sent them out across the face of the earth. So it turns out it was a good thing to be rid of Jesus. It's good because we have Him inside. It is good because He's worldwide. And it is good because He is personalized. And each of us are His hands, His feet, His eyes, His mouth to speak words of compassion and love. Right away, the world began to call us Christians. And you know why? Because that means little Christs. It personalized Jesus. And He became embodied in us. And so they called us little Jesuses. And He belongs to the ages. Age after age, He is made real to a lost world through people like you and like me. From the shores of the Sea of Galilee, across darkest Africa, through Asia, across Europe, across the oceans to the islands of the seas, to the black, to the white, the red and the yellow, the poor and the rich, the male and the female, the educated and the unlearned, Jesus belongs to us all. And we are His hands, we are His feet, we are His voice, we are His eyes today. You forget that you represent Jesus, and religion deteriorates into mere emotionalism. But when we remember that we are His hands and His feet and His voice and His eyes, the flames of commitment leap up on the altar. There's an ancient legend which tells of the return of Jesus to heaven. And as He gets back, the angel Gabriel meets Him. And the angel Gabriel welcomes Him and says, "What have you accomplished on earth? What have you left behind to assure you that your work will endure, that what you died for will last, that your mission was successful?" And Jesus replied, "I have left behind 11 men who believe in me." "But," protested Gabriel, "what if they fail you? What if their loyalty should break? Are you not taking an incredible risk?" Jesus replied simply, "I know them. They will not fail." Yes, a Savior inside. A Savior for the world. A Savior personalized in your life and in mine. For He sends us out. We are His hands, His feet, His eyes today. Can He say of you and of me, as He said of His disciples, "I know them. They will not fail"? Let us pray.